Our state capitol report continues in this half hour with a state lawmaker who is proposing legislation to combat heroin abuse in Wisconsin. And he speaks from experience. His daughter struggles with heroin addiction, and we will hear how he hopes his proposals will help her and those like her and their loved ones. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, October 28th. How concerned are you about heroin abuse in your community? Do you know anyone who's been addicted to heroin? What would help fight heroin abuse and its consequences? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is John Nygren. He is a Republican state representative from Marinette. He is the co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and he is the author of four bills to fight heroin abuse in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
Thank you for being with us. There was a very personal story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week about your daughter's battle with heroin and her overdose 4 years ago. For those who may not have read the story or heard about it, tell us what happened.
Well, I mean, like many throughout Wisconsin, my daughter Cassie has been struggling with an addiction to heroin that started, which is pretty common, with a prescription drug, OxyContin, back about 6 years ago. And we had a doctor, unfortunately, in the Menominee, Michigan side of my area that was selling prescriptions to the folks in the community, and it made the problem much worse. And a few years back, I got a phone call that she was found on the floor. I rushed over there to find her very, purple, struggling to breathe. Thankfully, in her case, the EMTs were able to arrive soon enough to be able to administer Narcan, which reverses the effects of the overdose, and she was able to survive that. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on your perspective, I guess, in this case, she went into the correction system, which I believe actually saved her life, and she has been in that system for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, it's very, very scary, and as you mentioned, Cassie has been in and out of jail, and she's now behind bars in Marinette County awaiting a hearing to revoke her extended supervision. How is she doing now with her recovery?
First of all, just like an alcoholic, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. So, I mean, it's something that she'll struggle with the rest of her life. But I'm actually pretty hopeful. She left our area to go to Texas, she says, to escape the cycle and the circle of friends that she was around here in this area. And I actually think that trip probably was good for her because it shows that she can live without the drug. Coming back to this small town where, she knows everybody has made her decisions, because they're all her decisions, much easier to use. So getting her out of the environment, I think, was helpful. But unfortunately, that was a violation of her parole, and now she's going to, face consequences from that.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading the article. It sounds like she's supportive of your legislation, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But would you say that her story is a fairly typical or pretty common one for heroin users?
I think it is. It starts with prescription drugs. I think it's not uncommon, especially in my area. I've seen a lot of young, pretty girls. I guess beauty doesn't have anything to do with it, but girls and young men that had had a bright future ahead of them, that unfortunately, chose a path that, once they tried, unfortunately they were addicted for life, and now they're facing the consequences of it. What struck me is, my family dealt with this the way most families would, privately for a number of years, for 4 years or so. But the more I saw this affecting people around me, the more I saw how devastating it was to my community, and as I learned later, my state. It was time to, take a stand and try and make a difference, and hopefully, in the long run, reduce or if not eliminate the heroin use in our area, in our state.
Yeah, a lot of people might be under the impression that heroin is more of a big city problem and not something going on in rural America like Marinette, Wisconsin. But give us an idea of the scope of this problem. Why is it such a serious deal?
Marinette, Wisconsin, first of all, there's a number of reasons. I mentioned the doctor with the selling the prescriptions. We're right on the border of Michigan. Highway 41, four lanes all the way from Chicago, Milwaukee, up in Marinette as the gateway to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so more people to the north. Laws in Michigan are a little bit laxer on dealing than they are in Wisconsin, so because of that, we're kind of a magnet for people to come and set up as dealers on the Michigan side, and then they do business across the river, so it doesn't really matter. But small town Wisconsin is getting hit just as hard as big cities are. I've been in a lot of little towns throughout the state and hearing a similar message over and over again. It doesn't matter, where you live. The drug dealers are finding a way to sell their product in your communities. And, I've said this a number of times, if you're poor and don't have the money for the drug, you can find a way to get it. You can steal it. A lot of break-ins, a lot of armed robberies are happening because of a drug addiction. Or if you do have the money, I think that's even more dangerous because then you've got a source for the dollars to be able to get your hands on the drug. So this is not the perception of heroin from the 60s and 70s that being done in dark alleys by rock stars and other folks like that. This is happening in our high schools, and it's happening in small town Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's a lot of drugs and a lot of people with various addictions to other drugs and alcohol, for that matter. How does the heroin problem stack up against these other drugs?
Well, I mean, my personal opinion, having lived through this, I think that this is much more significant of a problem than the alcohol. As an alcoholic, you can get drunk without it necessarily killing you. As a heroin addict, at some point in time, if you continue to be a user, you're going to die because the drug is not consistent. There might be a time where you take heroin and you might get a certain level of high, and then the next time you get a stronger dose, not knowing it, and it's going to affect your body and potentially kill you. So the longer you use, the more likely you are to die with heroin.
Well, let's talk about some of these, your bills that you've introduced, four of them that deal with heroin and other opiates. One by one, one bill provides limited immunity for people who either call 911 or bring those suffering from an overdose to an emergency room. Why is this needed?
Well, first of all, none of these bills are the silver bullet that people might be looking for to fight this problem, but they're a start. And we're continuing. We're looking for more ideas as we move throughout the session and into the future. The 911 Good Samaritan, just from personal experience, and I think you will see statewide that this happens over and over again. You either read about the story with the person who is found having suffered from an overdose alone, or we had a story in Milwaukee where somebody was dumped into a snowbank. Users typically don't use alone. They are with friends. They're with other users when they take that hit of heroin and has that negative reaction. But because the way our laws are right now, there's a fear for them to be able to dial 911 to save that person's life. And what this would do is it doesn't give immunity to the drug dealer, but it does give immunity to somebody that's simply in possession, somebody that's there with you to be able to dial 911 to save a life. This has been something that is now, when we first started, it was like, I believe, 7-8 states. Now 14 states have a similar law, and it's a simple step. And we are working with law enforcement. We don't want to make law enforcement's job more difficult. We actually want to give them more tools. Badger State Sheriff's Association is supportive of this. It's a simple step that hopefully can save lives.
Yeah. In your daughter's case, people had been with her, but they kind of took off.
Yeah, that's pretty common because they're afraid of getting caught. Now, there's, as I said earlier, there's a dis- discussion about whether the person who's overdosed should have immunity or not. And I'm you know, that's been something that's been brought forward to us. But in my case, I actually think the fact that she went into the correction system actually saved her life. Because it required her to get the help and the treatment that she's needed, whether she has been successful from it or not, I mean, is a daily struggle. But you know, that's a discussion we are having, whether the person who is overdosed should have immunity or not. And as it's proposed right now, the answer to that is no.
We'll talk about the other bills in just a moment. We are talking with John Nygren, a Republican state representative from Marinette. He is co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and he is the author of legislation to fight heroin abuse in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a view about this. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking with State Representative John Nygren, who is a Republican representative from Marinette, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and the author of four bills to fight heroin abuse in Wisconsin. His package of bills is aimed at fighting heroin use and abuse and the effects it has on families across Wisconsin. And he knows from experience, as we have also discussed, his daughter's addiction to heroin and what it's meant for his family. And we welcome your experiences. We welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you know someone who's addicted to heroin? What kind of a treatment did that person receive? How effective was it? How concerned are you about heroin abuse in your community? Well, Representative Nygren, we do have callers, but let's click through your legislation. One bill would clear the way to drop off narcotics at drug repositories. How would this work?
Well, currently, I mean, the names of them are different from community to community. Drug collection programs, clean sweep programs, where people have been able to drop off old prescription drugs to be able to get them out of their medicine cabinet. As it sits right now, class 2 and 3 narcotics are not, it's not legal for them to be received in this in these clean sweep programs, so we'd be working to change that. Very simple step. If somebody wants to quit, we should be able to get these things out of our homes and into safe hands. Two others, Narcan, the drug I had mentioned, as it sits right now, only intermediate and advanced EMTs can administer Narcan, carry and administer Narcan, and in rural areas, you know, whoever is the first on the scene oftentimes has the opportunity to save a life. And what we're looking to do is change the who can carry and administer Narcan to basic level first responders with proper training so that more lives can be saved. And the final one came from a Brown County Drug Task Force recommendation. I didn't even realize this was an issue, but say I have a prescription, I'm either ill at home or can't get to the pharmacy, somebody else can actually go pick up that narcotic drug for me without showing any form of ID, as long as it's paid for, and then they go out the door. And it makes it difficult. Unfortunately, in today's world, there's a lot of people that are falsifying prescriptions and getting that legal drug out onto the streets to be sold. So requiring a photo ID when picking up a narcotic drug. You can still help your friend and neighbor, your relative, but we're just going to know who's picking it up if this law passes.
All right, let's take some calls. We have George in Rosendale with us first. Hello, George.
Good morning, and thanks for taking the call. I have a son that has drug addiction. He made a statement quite a while ago, which is pretty true. We should turn all these prisons we got in Wisconsin, instead of prisons, we should turn them into hospitals, because most of the people in there have alcohol or drug addiction, and they really need help. And once they do get treated, put them back out and put them working instead of locking them up for years. That's my only comment.
All right, George, thanks for sharing that. What about treatment of the addict, of Representative Nygren?
Well, that's actually, there's two more bills that are coming that we expect to be introduced sometime early in 2014. One of them is to be able to provide more treatment options for people, especially in rural areas, in Marinette and other areas of the state that are more rural, don't have a lot of options to be able to help break that cycle of addiction. And George is right. You know, just from as a co-chairman of the budget committee, you start looking at the dollars we're spending on incarceration. It's over $30,000 a year for a man. It's over $40,000 a year for a woman. Actually, at Techeeta, because of the mental health and other issues, the number I'm hearing is over $70,000 a year. So, and in my area, having had conversations with parole and probation, when people get sentenced, come home, recidivism rate right now in our area is almost 100%. So really, we're just housing people. We're wasting the dollars. We're going to look for programs that are proven and have good success, and then we can replicate them statewide. We are definitely looking for solutions to the significant problems, not only on drug abuse, but on mental health issues that we have in our state. We're looking for solutions to fight these problems.
So this is legislation that may come in early 2014.
Yeah.
Any reason to wait?
It's a little bit more complicated to get them written. There is also the second one deals with complete revamping of community corrections. There's programs in other states called Swift and Certain. I think there's two states that have passed them that specifically for drug and alcohol abuse. It's more of a swift and certain, based on the name of the bill, response to the mistakes that perhaps parole people might make to help them get through this cycle, rather than sending them back to prison right away. If they make one mistake, it would have some type of punishment that would be severe and significant, but help them get back one step at a time type of treatment rather than putting them back in prison right away.
Teresa in Chippewa County is with us. Hello.
Hi. I'm a first responder EMT in Chippewa County, and our last department meeting, actually, we were talking about the increasing use of heroin in Chippewa County and how we're supposed to react to that. And a lot of that time, someone could be in need of a lot of serious medical care, but we won't be able to do anything until the scene gets secured due to the behaviors that are surrounding heroin addiction. And it's just kind of like a scary thing to think that someone could be coding, but we can't do anything until the police get there or anything like that. I don't think people really realize just how far-reaching this can go and how dangerous this drug is. I mean, my friend OD'd on it a few weeks ago, and it's just, it's crazy. Like, he had CPR and everything to bring him back.
And, Teresa, you are unable as a first responder to administer this Narcan?
No, not yet. Not currently, not that I know of.
Yeah.
I think for Chippewa County, I think only paramedics are administering Narcan at the moment. I could be mistaken, but I think it's just paramedics, because as first responders, we don't administer any medications.
So one of your bills would expand the number of those who could carry and administer Narcan, Representative Nagy.
Yeah, if she's a basic level EMT, she would then now be able to carry and administer. Let's just talk, I mean, that sounds scary maybe to some people, but Narcan, the drug, if perhaps maybe there's a misdiagnosis when you arrive at the scene, maybe the person's having a diabetic reaction or epileptic seizure or whatever the case may be, I mean, you administer Narcan by mistake, this drug will have no effect on you. It only combats the narcotic in your system, so it's very safe. So in a situation like she's giving, if she is a basic level EMT, she would then be able to carry and administer Narcan. And part of the requirement, too, is reporting. One of the problems we have is we don't necessarily know how much of a problem this really is, because as it sits right now, administration of Narcan isn't broadly reported. So it would be required to report it so that we can keep track of how big of a problem we have and what kind of results we're having.
Yeah, let's go to Douglas in Lancaster next. Hello, Douglas. Douglas, are you there? All right. Well, I guess not. So we have Patrick on Facebook, who says there is a terrible drug problem in Wisconsin. I just hope that Representative Nygren recognizes the amount of public assistance his child will need for the rest of her lifespan, and that some people's children also need that level of help. Can that be provided?
Well, I'm not sure what he means by public assistance. I mean, I'm still very hopeful that she is going to have a productive life once she gets the addiction under control. And that doesn't necessarily mean that she'll be a ward of the state the rest of her life. She can still be a productive citizen, get a good job, have a family, you know, and live the American dream. But she needs to get this addiction under that she will fight the rest of her life under control, and then she could still be have a good life. But there are, we're talking about state programs here, and there are opportunities for us to, as a state, to get involved and to, you know, fight this this problem with the understanding that the long term we're trying to help people be able to take care of themselves, not be reliant on government forever.
We have less than 30 seconds. Representative Nygren, do you foresee any opposition to these bills?
Well, I mean, I think that with any bills that have some controversy to them, I think there will be, you know, some people who will vote against them. I am not hearing any loud voice saying that we shouldn't be doing this, because I think this is such a widespread problem throughout our state and our country that legislators on both sides of the aisle are understanding that we need to do something to save this generation of young people, because it really is at epidemic levels.
Thank you so much for being with us, John Nygren, Republican State Representative from Marinette. Thanks to Bill Mertens, Christy Taylor, and Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.